Up until now, Wendy Lesser's work as a writer and editor has kept her safely ensconced within high culture. She's the author of an acclaimed feminist study of art called His Other Half. She's also the editor of the Threepenny Review, a well-respected small magazine that features literary and cultural essays. But Lesser's new book, Pictures at an Execution, takes her into more dangerous territory. It's a study of how America looks at murder, both fictional murder and the real thing. Maureen Corrigan has a review.
As someone who teaches a course in detective fiction, I've been especially anxious to read Wendy Lesser's book, Pictures at an Execution. It was scheduled to be published in January, but it mysteriously appeared in bookstores last week, in time for the 30th anniversary of JFK's assassination. The coincidence, I think, was fortuitous. Every November, those films of the motorcade, the gunshots, Oswald, Ruby, and more gunshots loop round and round. Some of the questions Lesser raises here are ones we regular viewers of the assassination might well ask ourselves. Why are we drawn to murder? Why, in particular, are we so interested in seeing murder, either enacted or caught in the act? And is this interest in any way pleasurable? These are questions that are more comfortable to contemplate when you're dealing with fiction. But to her credit, Lesser doesn't just stick to insightful discussions of Macbeth and Crime and Punishment. She also assembles a sprawling exhibit of real-life murder stories. Norman Mailer's The Executioner's Song, Errol Morris's documentary The Thin Blue Line, and interviews with convicted murderers Ted Bundy and Jeffrey McDonald. In fact, the only tough question that Lesser deliberately tries to dodge is the one that's on everybody's mind these days. That is, what connection, if any, is there between violent art and violent behavior? I think despite her initial disclaimers, Lesser does make a case that watching real-life murders, like the kind we see on the evening news, encourages a paralyzing sense of spectatorship that's ultimately damaging to our imaginations and our souls. Think Geraldo. Lesser sometimes rambles after red herrings and false leads, but centering her expansive discussion is an actual legal case, KQED versus Daniel B. Vasquez. This was a trial conducted in San Francisco in 1991. It considered the request of a public TV station to broadcast the execution of Robert Alton Harris in the gas chamber at San Quentin. Lesser attended the trial, which was explicitly about First Amendment rights and implicitly about other messy issues, like how we feel about the death penalty and why we might want to watch an execution. In mulling over that question, Lesser suggests that since our own death is the one event we can't contemplate afterward, we need to extrapolate from the experience of others. Then her meditations become more uneasy. This dying through another seems nothing short of ghoulish, as if sharing in the dead man's singular fate, we make it less his own. She concludes, "This is why our collective presence at a condemned man's execution would be such a violation. It is also why we so long to be there." Lesser doesn't reveal the outcome of the trial or of Harris's numerous stays of execution until the end of her book. If this suspenseful plot structure sounds a little exploitative, Lesser has ensured that her readers are in no position to feel morally superior. On the cover of her book is a black and white photo by the 1940s crime photographer Ouija. It shows an excited crowd of people in a New York street straining to see the body of a murdered racketeer. The minute we readers open Pictures at an Execution, even though we might tell ourselves we're only intellectually interested in murder, we've just elbowed our way into the thick of that bloodthirsty crowd.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Pictures at an Execution by Wendy Lesser. We recently did a program about the flu vaccine, and we have a correction. Flu vaccines are made up in advance of the flu season based on projections of which strain of the flu virus will strike. One of our guests said that often the projections are wrong, and therefore there was only a 50-50 chance of a flu vaccine matching the virus that's actually going around. According to the CDC, however, over the past 4 years, American researchers have been able to make much more accurate projections and therefore much more effective vaccines. The CDC says there's been a near-perfect match for the past 4 years.